And that's it, we're live.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this one, the feature in this, like you press that thing and it just starts recording.
Yeah, you can set it. You can set it that every time you open it, it just starts recording.
Yeah, it starts recording, yeah.
So I just used it all the time.
Yeah.
And the vibe line does the rest.
Yeah.
Hopefully, and the clankers. Now that I connected the vibe line to the clankers,
yeah.
Ever since I did that,
yeah,
things really
Got to the next level. I saw the feed, like, you know, No Solution is pushing, like everything is.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, that's just the dialogue output.
Yeah,
you should see my experimental software output.
Okay.
Like NAN that I showed last Friday.
Yeah, I missed that one.
You were barbecuing.
I was at the barbecue.
But it literally was like using a voice prompt to brainstorm the idea.
Right.
Using another voice prompt to go from the brainstorm to a to-do list, basically.
Right.
Like an implementation plan.
Yeah.
And then setting up a cron job that every 20 minutes tackles one of the to-dos. And then it built itself overnight.
Right.
And I was able to kind of show a working prototype on a demo day.
I didn't want to set up, I experimented with them. I did the NIP 17 plugin for Nullclaw. And then I got deep into the Zig ecosystem, and I wasted an entire month behind that thing. I never set it up, and I didn't want to set up OpenClaw on my system, so I never did that. But now I have a VPS where I'm going to set it up.
But that should work for Zero Claw just the same, right?
Yeah.
Like just a cron job with like
Zero Claw. So OpenClaw is free, is open, like, you know, like you can do anything with it, and that's why it's insecure and all of those things. Zero Claw tried to be very secure, and that makes it unusable. You just can't, it just doesn't do anything. So
rapid prototyping or security, pick one.
Yeah, yeah. So and now I'm going to embrace the Claw.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be more expensive now. I mean, yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Anthropic decided to fuck everyone.
Yeah, but you know, there are these smaller models, cheaper models, the Chinese ones. They are extremely cheap, and they're good enough
for
tasks and agentic kind of thing. Maybe not to, you know, actually. In fact, what you can do is you can still use Codex, right? So instead of hooking up with Opus, you hook it up with Codex.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's fine.
Yeah, I was an Opus maximalist until yesterday. Now I have to change my ways because I'm basically broke right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just insane. I talked about this with Marty as well.
Yeah.
That everyone's subsidized right now.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, we all know that. I mean, if you're
way too much
a power user, then you're not going to use
a
paper queue or even Routeserve because it's just like it's going to bankrupt you instantly.
Yeah. We can't do that.
But yeah, I'm bullish on local hardware. Like, I'm bullish on running everything on your own bare metal.
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting on the M5 Mac Minis to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
But I might eat my words and just order an M4 Mac Mini tomorrow because I'm just I have a problem. I'm an addict.
Yeah.
And someone took away my needle yesterday, I have an issue.
Yeah. And some of the smaller models are, and this is what we were talking about it in YOLO Plus as well with a few people. Like the hardware is going to improve, and also the models are going to get smarter, like dedicated models. Like there's an agentic model only for tool calling.
Yeah.
And you use that as your first part of the pipeline, and then it routes to specific things, just like you have your vibe line, right?
Yeah, Open Router has that already, and Routestar now has it too. They have the routing model in the sense that if something requires thinking, you're gonna use a thinking
model.
If something is very simple, you use a simple model.
Yeah, like Nullclaw has that. I think OpenClaw should have it as well. I'm not sure. I've not experimented with that one yet.
Yeah, you can just use the routing models as your main model, and then you'll have it. It doesn't have it built in. It has a model tree, basically, in the sense that you have an agent and you can set, like, that's your main model.
Yeah.
And those five are your fallbacks.
Yeah.
So if you get rate limited or you run out of credits, you have a fallback and so on.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, like, my main suggestion is always to just do lots of experimentation, pick a pet project and play around with it a lot.
Yeah.
Because then you'll figure all these things out, like how to best
use
a certain harness and how to, like, what is one model good at and another one sucks at and so on.
Yeah. Like, I moved away from Opus a while back because it just never worked for me. Like, it would completely lie that, yeah, I did that, and all the tests pass, and all the tests are just like, yes, true. You know, like, yes, we have passed. It's like,
but it hallucinated all the time.
Yeah, and it hallucinates all the time. Codex, on the other hand,
I never give instructions, by the way. That's, I think, why I work well with Opus.
Right.
Because I always ask questions. I only ask questions.
Right.
If I, like, did we do that?
Right.
And I always use the royal we.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Did we implement that? Did you look at that? Did you double check everything?
I took a leaf from you, and, like, you should see my conversations with Codex, because Codex, I feel like I can respect it, and so I do respect it, because it actually does stuff, and it's like, oh, please, can you did you do that? Did we do this? And, like, you know, like, what did we do back then? Like, what were the decisions here? And what? Yeah, let's start recording our decisions, you know, and so we can refer to them later. Yeah,
it was funny when the leak happened a couple of days ago.
Ah, yeah,
and people found what's it called? Is it Olympus?
It's
I always mix up the names now.
Mythos,
exactly. Mythos. Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah.
Mythos, that's right. Yeah. And people figured out that. You know, they actually treat certain code words in a special way, because you mentioned, you know, please and so on.
Yeah.
But especially on the negative side.
Yeah.
Like, if you say,
what the fuck?
Fuck you, what the fuck? You know, you fucking retard, that doesn't work and so on. It's like,
ignore.
Yeah, it will actually react differently. It was like you, so I think the learning from that leak is you should really swear at your models if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
that really helps.
Yeah. I don't know, because even with Codex, for that matter, I think me and Justin were talking about this. Like, while they are working and they go through, they have a plan. Like, it's not a good idea to have questions in the same session.
Yeah.
Rather have
a
separate session.
Absolutely.
And then, you
know,
like, that is where you do all that stuff. And even if you want to.
No, I always start dialogical. I always build up context with questions.
Yeah.
And before I implement something, I always write the implementation plan.
Yeah.
And then a new session builds the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's the same. Like, again, I talk with Pablo about this a bunch in the 10x context.
Yeah.
You have to rebuild the same structures that we humans landed on.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it's also, you know, there's a different, like, there's a reason why we all, in the US, for example, they landed on the separations of powers.
Yeah.
It's like the people who make the laws are different people than execute the laws. Same idea.
Yeah, have to.
And it's like the guy who writes the implementation plan is a different guy than who implements it.
Yeah.
Is a different guy who writes tests for the implementation and so on and so on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We need to do all that, and we'll probably have specialized models for all that.
Mexican standoff works everywhere. You got to fucking have a gun at every single
triangles all the way down. Talk to me about your sovereign engineering journey. From start to finish. You lived through the meteoric rise of vibe coding with us.
Yeah.
And what was the first cohort you joined as a participant?
Fourth one.
Yeah. That was the vibe coding one,
That was the first one where Paul
did
the
workshop.
That was the first vibe coding.
First week of the fourth one, Paul showed us the way.
Yeah.
And while Kali was trying to build a cashew client live on air, Paul beat him to it.
Yeah.
Just purely vibe coding the cashew client.
Purely vibe coded it, yeah.
I mean, both kind of broke, but
yeah,
there was we were still kind of okay.
It was like a light bulb moment.
There's something there.
Yeah, and before Psycho4, I had not even did ChatGPT situation because I was so to speak.
So you went from no contact with LLMs to full on vibe coding.
Full on vibe coding. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Psycho4. I was like, oh, what do you? Like, I didn't even know the terms when I came.
And I think vibe coding, the term appeared in the same week.
Yes. Yeah. Karpathy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, I didn't even actually know.
What made you sign up for Seco 4 in the first place?
I didn't know Sovereign Engineering existed like 3 weeks before.
Most people don't. We suck at marketing.
Yeah. And I was like, I had given up Twitter a while back. I was barely on any social media, not even on Noster. And my partner back home, he said that, oh, he's going for, we were in Thailand for a Bitcoin conference and conference kind of thing.
Business partner.
Yeah. And he said, oh, I'm going for this thing. It starts in March. I'm like, oh, cool. What is it? And he explained it to me. I'm like, oh, this sounds great. This is great for our little pet project that we were doing back in India. Because we wanted encrypted communication, ephemeral communication between parties.
For peer-to-peer trading, right?
Yeah, for peer-to-peer trading. And we had looked at Noster about 2 years back, but Noster didn't have any DM situation back then. So we expected, like, oh, it should have moved ahead, and we did a basic research, and like, there is something. DMs still exist in Noster, but we don't have any idea because none of us work in Noster. So I'm like, this seems like good. There's going to be a bunch of Noster guys. I guess we can go over there and ask some questions and maybe find answers, right? And fortunately, I had visa for Europe for a climbing trip. I was going to come for a climbing trip. And that's why I arrived like 4 days late. I signed up. I had a chat with Martin, and he's like, oh, cool, come on. And I ended up over here with like, No programming for the past 3 years. Just restarted this P2P project and just came on a whim.
Turns out you didn't even need programming experience in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't even know exactly, like, oh, this demo day situation is an actual hard requirement. I'm like, I'm just going to come over here and have good conversations.
At that point in time, we didn't tell people beforehand.
Right.
We just sprung it on everyone where it's like, oh, by the way, yeah. Demos are not optional. Yeah. Everyone has to demo.
I was like, oh my God, like, you know, am I going to be, you know, kicked out of here in the first week?
Exactly. Yeah. If you don't manage to do a demo, then you're going to get kicked out and we're going to shoot you in the face on your way out.
Yeah. Thankfully, nobody shot me out, despite most of my projects, actually, no, there were at least some part of it was code, but it was mostly about writing up the protocol for this P2P thing that I worked on during Seco 4.
Well, now we have all kinds of encrypted communication over Noster and even ephemeral ones and so on. So. The work is done, basically.
Yes.
It's like you don't have to touch that project anymore.
Yeah. All right. I still have to put it together. I shelved it after Seco 4 and then never looked at it. But since last 2 weeks,
there's still a market need in India.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So I have to put it together. I think I will before Seco 8. I will have a working prototype ready.
All right. So Seco 4, you got pushed into the deep end of the pool as a participant.
Yeah.
Seco 5, what happened in between? Talk me through Seco 5, your journey.
So Seco 4 finished, I was on a high, this is fucking incredible. I met my tribe, so to speak, over here, and I was gonna come for every single cohort as a participant. And I love Madeira. Me and Martin, we had conversations about, this is so great because we go on hikes, right? And one of the hikes was in Nuns Valley. I think Nuns Valley is fucking the place for the world that is coming.
It was cut off from the rest of the population for a long time because there were no tunnels into it, right?
Yes, there were no tunnels, yeah.
So it's own ecosystem, basically.
Yeah. Only old people, lots of land, very fertile, lots of money. Yeah,
lots of nuns.
Yeah. And it's a great spot, and I enjoyed being over here, so I wanted to come again and again. And then Martin proposed, maybe you want to start working with us in some way. And I'm like, sure, why not? I would love to. And then you and Pablo basically initiated the whole discussion about, like, do you want to come on board? and handle this stuff? And I'm like, yeah, sure, like, that's not a question. Like, I'm definitely doing this shit, like, you know, like, this is, like, it's, like, I feel grateful that you guys mentioned it, and I feel fortunate that you guys offered me this thing. And so I accepted, and then we started working together.
You know why we offered it to you?
No.
Because out of all the people that participated in these cohorts,
yeah,
we agreed that you are the one who would actually be crazy enough to say yes, yeah, and move to Madeira and do all the things.
Right.
The so I'm glad yeah, I'm glad this worked out, yeah, as we thought it would.
Yeah. So
so yeah, that's awesome. Very happy to have you on board, and it makes my life, of course, easier, because now I only burn out half of the time when the sovereign engineering is going on.
Yeah.
Because as you by now know, just from the organizational side, it's not nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you have nothing to take care of the people. You have to take care that kind of the weekly program is,
yeah,
executed well, that everyone knows what's up, and that you,
and take care,
you organize
of the
hikes, organize the barbecues. And,
yeah.
Organize the various sessions that we have. I mean, yeah, obviously the captains help, yeah, help as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad that we landed on something that kind of works. And yeah, I mentioned this in the last conversations as well. I just want to keep it, like, keep doing it for as long as we can.
Yeah.
As long as people are motivated, yeah, and yeah, as long as as the long internet as isn't fixed yet.
Yes. Yeah. As long as we can, we should keep doing it, because, man, what we do at Sovereign Engineering is incredible. And which is why I like...
It's basically locking 21 different people that are on some sort of spectrum somewhere in a room, yeah, not allowing them to leave for multiple weeks. That's, yes, that's the recipe for success.
That's the recipe for, yeah, you know, like, not
get
like,
a bunch of autists together, yeah, and let them hack on code.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of a hard rule, because, you know, autists like kind of guardrails, otherwise they kind of fall over. So so yeah, I think it's extremely important what we do over here, and I'm like, I would if I was doing something else important and you guys would have offered me, like, it would have made my life really hard, because then I, like, this is something that is so close to my heart, what we do over here and the alignment and, you know, the philosophy of it.
Yeah, I think it's also the right time. It's a very timely thing. It's, I think that's also why people are coming and are excited about it, because, yeah, everyone knows and feels in their bone that, you know, the internet is basically broken.
Yeah, we need to fix it.
And we can, but we, with a Bitcoin background basically, and a cryptography background, and the peer-to-peer background, we have the knowledge, or some of us, some people at least, yeah, I'm not even going to include myself,
yeah,
have the knowledge of and also the means and the willpower to do something about,
yeah,
it. Like, if you live through two or three Bitcoin bear markets,
yeah,
You're just gonna, and if you actually want to fix the thing, you're gonna have some grit and willpower to, yeah, you know, work on this for the next 10-15 years until, yeah, stuff actually starts working. So
yeah,
that's what I appreciate about the people that are here. It's,
yeah,
because it's quite a high barrier to come here.
Yeah.
High barrier of entry, even though, like, it doesn't come from us, it comes naturally from the, yeah, island and, yeah, from the circumstances.
Yeah.
Then you automatically have the right people here that actually want to fix this shit, that actually are in it for the right reasons, that, yeah, actually, you know, want to make the internet a better place, and,
yeah,
hopefully learn from the past.
Yeah, I liken this to the outdoor old school climbing community in that sense, because, you know, like, climbing, very high barrier to entry, very hard, very difficult. You could be sitting in your house doing a shitty job and being comfortable, but no, you want to get out in the nature
you live on the wall.
Push yourself, live on the wall, you know, like, probably, yeah, put yourself through a situation where you will probably die or break a few bones. But you still want to do it because it's for the love of the game, right?
That's why we have, yeah, the Shackleton advertisement,
yeah,
on the website.
Yeah.
Let's go down here. Because it's basically no pay, or, like, it says very low wages, but we, yeah, don't even have that.
Yeah.
We have no pay.
We have no pay.
No wages.
Yeah.
But, you know, safe return, doubtful,
yeah,
like, all those kind of things, long,
yeah,
journey,
yeah,
bitter cold, all those kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And still, like, I think for Shackleton, it was like 3,000 people that,
yeah,
were brave enough to sign,
yeah,
up to go,
yeah,
into the Arctic and explore,
yeah,
and so on. And, of course, the ship broke. Everything was terrible. They,
yeah,
had to drift on broken ice for multiple months and like insane story. I highly recommend everyone read up on Commander Shackleton, and Endurance was the name of the
Endurance,
ship.
Endurance,
and just what the crew went through, and everyone made it. Like that's like that's why I love the story, because we're all gonna make it.
Yeah,
It's like it's gonna be fine.
Yeah,
just believe. Stay on the broken ice. Shoot some seals. Put your hands into the seals to warm your hands for like 10 seconds. Drink the blood, eat the seals. We're gonna be fine. It's gonna be great. We're gonna be fine.
Yeah.
Just keep on keeping on.
Yeah, it's in climbing we have this like glory or nothing. You know, you have to go for it.
Oh sure, there's many. There's many. I think that's.
And there's a few crazy ones that who actually do it.
That's why people gravitate to extreme sports. I think in the first place, because there's a lot of do or die moments.
Yeah.
Where you actually have to commit, and you don't know how it's gonna go.
Yeah.
And I think that's in the DNA of Sovereign Engineering as well.
Yeah.
Where you just, with every single demo that you just, you know, vibe coded in the last 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
You never know how it's gonna go and if it's gonna work or if it's gonna break because demo effect is a thing.
Yeah.
And you just have to commit, and you also don't know, is it a good idea? Will people like it? Will people hate it?
Yeah.
And you just have to jump and just do it.
Yeah, and vibe coding, man, like, you know, that one last prompt syndrome is sometimes works, sometimes doesn't, you know, like 2 minutes before the demo, like, did it fix it?
Probably it's a slot machine. It's a slot machine.
It's a slot machine.
Let's walk, because you walk really fast.
Okay.
So we'll do 2 or 3 rings here.
Okay.
We'll have to play for time a little bit.
I can try and walk.
So then SEC 06 just concluded 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Or so.
Yeah.
Talk me through that as well, because I wasn't here for large parts of the cohort.
Yeah.
And it was the identity one, which is a topic that's near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
So what did you think of it? What were the most exciting demos and projects you saw? And what were some of the problems that people worked on?
Right. So Seco 6 was about identity and signers, and very timely cohort in that sense, because we had this whole agentic uprising, so to speak, of claws coming in the world, and you know, like trying to figure, like if humans are trying to figure out how to give them an identity without jumping through the hoops of traditional internet.
I think everyone who sets up OpenClaw runs into that problem immediately, right? It's like, who am I? Who are you? How do I talk to you?
Yeah.
And give me like 25 different API keys so I can actually operate.
Yeah. So everyone's going through that pain, and somehow they are, they have, like humans are very, humans are okay with pain. They're very tolerant in that sense. But what we have over here is like with Noster, like we, like it's spin up your NSEC, and like now we talk over NIP17 DMs, right? But so that was one component about the identity and stuff, which was like Noster and Cashew and Lightning, and it's like it's a perfect match. Like you know,
what are the things? What are the building blocks that you can use without using a permission identity, right? Like, what's the difference between cryptographic identity and something like a Facebook identity or whatever? And what are the tools that you can actually use
like,
purely based on a cryptographic identity? Like, what can you use if you just have an NPUP? And that's obviously Noster, Blossom for data storage, Nsites for deployment, Cashew
you
for
have
money.
You have money to buy humans, buy other agents, buy APIs, buy whatever resources that you want.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't have to ask permission. That's the most important thing. Right? You talk about Facebook, you talk about Twitter, you talk about Gmail, you talk about any of these things, like you need a phone number to sign up. Like how the fuck is a claw going to get a phone number from? You have to give it to it.
I feel like we need a new Steve Ballmer. You know, he went out at Microsoft and went like developers, developers, developers.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the guy like super sweaty and go like permissionless, permissionless, permissionless. That's what it's about.
You can just do things in Noster. Like, you know, just spin up your ends or not. You don't even have to do it. Just tell your claw.
Yeah.
You know, download NAC, create an NSEC for yourself, and send me a DM.
Yeah, that's why
this is my NPub.
That's why I created Nihao. That was the first thing I showed off in week one, right? It's like use
what you did.
Literally one shot prompt. Yeah. It's like use Nihao and open Closkill to set yourself up with Noster.
Yeah.
And NIP17 DMs.
Yes.
Because the NIP4 DM integration that ships with OpenClaw is obviously broken.
Yeah.
And NIP04 is terrible.
Yeah.
And it's literally like on a new installation, one shot prompt, and your agent sends you a DM on Noster. Says, and then you can take it from there.
Yeah.
And for the last like 2 months or so now, my Noster clients, and I use all kinds of different clients, are my agentic interface. Right. So I just DM, like every project has an NPUB, and I just DM with my project, hey, let's build this, let's do that, let's update this.
You can have every single agent can have its own NPUB, every single agent can have its own context window within your NIP17 chat box. And you can, even if you want like a few agents mixing together and having conversations with them and sharing context, create a group with them, right? You can do many kind of groups with them, like NIP29, NIP17 groups, like. There's multiple ways of doing it, and they themselves can figure it out because it is programmatic.
Yeah,
it does not need a permission from a KYC-based entity to. Is it a and like all the captchas that we have is about like, are you human? And now we are talking about bots being first class
identities. I think the captcha should be, are you useful?
Are you useful? Yeah.
Not are you human?
Yeah.
I don't care if you're human or not. It's like, are you useful?
No more.
Or
right?
are you an attacker?
Yeah.
Are you a good guy or are you a bad guy?
So in this new world, like, captcha is dead. It's no more about humans because agents are first class identities now.
We still need to solve the same issues that the captcha checkbox solves, which is basically you need to defend off DDoS. You need to.
Well, Noster gives you for free, right?
But we haven't solved it completely yet.
Yeah,
But a combination of Web of Trust and Proof of Work will solve this.
Exactly, right? You have payments, so you can have
payments. Payments sets are just difficulty adjusted Proof
of Work. Exactly, right? So you have multiple ways of doing it and just combine it in the best way that is useful for your system that you are creating.
Yeah.
You want to create a public relay, but you don't want it be abused, like, charge a SAT for, for like 100 notes or something like that.
Yeah.
And it can be programmatic. We have L402 now. We have many different ways of solving. Cashew solved 402 in a way, right? So you have that. You have proof of work.
That was the title that I had with Kelly. It was like Cashew fixes 402.
Absolutely. I think it was the fourth one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
The L402, like we saw a couple of Nginx modules also coming out of Sovereign Engineering.
Yeah.
We had solving 402 with Lightning and with Cashew.
Yes. We had one participant in the Seco 5 where we had the project was called Pagress, and we had a script, a bash script, buying a Docker container from a different machine, also a script, by paying Cashew directly. So machine buying a Docker container and the machine provisioning the Docker container to the requesting script.
Yeah,
the idea was all programmatic,
self-replicating agents and services. That was the idea, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like we're very, very close to that. We have all the building blocks.
It's have all the building
blocks. Someone has to, obviously, the stuff we're doing here is like the first 80% or so.
Yeah.
And as everyone knows, the last 5% are the hardest, actually making it production ready and polishing and so on. But we don't care about that.
Yeah.
We just get the ideas out, get the prototypes out.
Big
and
brains
then
need to sit together, put
someone
it together.
Someone else has to take over. I mean, that's how FIPS happened, right?
Yes, as well.
So someone like Jonathan has to sit down and actually implement the thing in a reasonable way.
Oh, well, FIPS
in
is
a professional way. Yeah. But in some sense, FIPS wouldn't have happened without Sovereign Engineering.
No.
Because Arian ran into all these issues working on Tollgate and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, we went to NoDNS. And then we went to Fuck IPs.
Yeah.
And then it snowballed from there.
Last, in Seco 5, we had like big conversations around, the whole, the other stuff of Noster, which is the NoDNS stuff, FIPS stuff, and Tollgate, and all of these things. Like how can we use these things? Like we have good ideas, and we have a lot more questions, but we see that it is possible, but how do we put them together? And from that, that's kind of how we kind of came up to like, okay, let's have a dedicated cohort for this because we need big brains and gray beards who know this stuff, who has done this stuff for decades now, from the beginning of internet, and you know, like solve these questions for us because clearly there is something over here and we don't have enough information about it.
And luckily for us, the big brains and the gray beards actually came.
Yes, they actually did, right? So
so we put a flag on the ground, mesh networking and hardware, and it's like, if you like those things, just come.
Just come.
And people actually came. It's awesome. It's awesome to see. But let's jump back to the identity one, SSE06. A big topic was, of course, agentic identity, those kind of things, which we just touched on. But another one was also key rotation, key loss, key compromise. What do you do?
Yeah, key rotation, identity continuation. They're kind of similar things, slightly different. But we had, so one of the things was about, you know, like, what do we do? Like, Noster, for it to be deployed seriously, to be considered seriously on a persistent level, because we are talking about identities now, and if you are in any way a serious person who is building a serious identity on top of Noster, and something happens to your key,
even worse if you're a serious organization.
If you're a serious organization,
because then you have the intern problem.
You have
problem.
Interns, and
social media intern.
Yes.
Right now, like for my organizations. Plural.
Yeah.
I can't have a social media intern for any of those because I have to give them the NSEC.
Right.
And like, what if it turns out it was a really bad intern and I have to kick them out and it's like everything's terrible. Like you can't undo giving them the NSEC. And so that's definitely an issue we have to solve on the Noster side.
Yeah.
Noster works really well for reckless people right now.
Yes.
Doesn't work for organizations at all in some sense.
Yeah.
Unless it's, you know, like a single person organization.
Yeah.
And like, talk me through the proposals that were made during the cohort and what people came up with.
So there were two main proposals regarding key rotation. One was using cryptographic proofs and social attestation as a coherent solution, because we've had many proposals in the last few years talking about different ways of doing cryptographic proofs so that we can signal key rotation and the clients follow that. Or Vitor, for example, had like, you know, it's identity, there's no cryptographic proof and it has to be social. And so he had a very radical solution, like, let's just do social attestation.
Social only, no
social
crypto.
Only, no cryptographic. Because if you get compromised, your attacker can provide the same proofs as you can.
Yeah.
Right? So he had a very
valid
point. I
think we have to differentiate between key loss and key compromise.
Yes, exactly.
If someone steals your key, it's a different scenario than you lost your key.
So that is why I thought like my solution was like we need two parallel systems independent of each other which can be combined to provide a stronger signal. But they can also be used in different scenarios depending on whether it's a loss, whether it's a compromise, and what you have available, whether you have set it up, whether you have access to your, whether it's a tragic loss of your key, and you know, so there are many scenarios, and you can't address everything in a very simple manner. So I picked up, I kind of mashed Pablo's 829 proposal with HODLBOD's and created a cryptographic identity which was simpler and social attestation taking a leaf from Vitor. Mm-hmm. So that was one proposal and I still
so
have to
very
kind of
simply
refine
put
it.
It's a combined approach
it's
of
a combined
the pure
approach.
Social attestation but with cryptographic assurances mixed in.
Yes, so you can enhance the cryptographic proofs with social attestation but one important distinction between the previous proposals versus the one that I have is that all the previous proposals required the clients to do the heavy lifting of keeping the state together, making sure that you know, like it has been signaled, the dispute window is managed, and when the dispute comes,
the clients actually have to show, hey, you're following an old account. This guy is now this other endpoint.
Yes,
and so on.
And not just that, but also manage and after the dispute window to change the follow list. So it was
and the old nodes and the old data as well.
Yeah, so it was a push change by clients to the users, which is always a bad thing. Because a client can turn malicious at any point of time and just can, it's not a good thing. A push thing is never a good thing. So what I did was, like, instead of clients managing the state and stuff and pushing these changes, it is up to the user. So say, you know, I lose my key and I send a migration event, and the client, all it has to do is that it has to detect this kind and display to every single follower of mine that this person has signaled a migration event, and here is the details of that, and you decide as a follower what you want to do, whether you want to do it or not. So you as a follower or a friend or a user will out of band communicate with me and figure out if it is true or not, right? And then you will signal, yes, this migration event was good and it is legit, and so you change your follow to the new key.
And to Vitor's point, we always need to do some sort of that. You always need to do some sort of out-of-band communication and verification, because it doesn't matter what kind of system you come up with, because most other systems, let's say you have a master key and you derive multiple identities from your master key and so on. Okay, what if you lose your master key?
Exactly.
Same idea as with Bitcoin, right? Like you have your 12 words stamped in steel. Okay, what if you lose that, or what if that gets stolen? Like you're pretty much wrecked.
Exactly.
There isn't much you can do.
Yeah. So instead of, given enough time, you know, if a majority of, or say a decent amount of followers of yours, whoever did the migration event, changed to the new identity, the others using the WOT system that we have can see that all of these followers have changed to the new identity, so maybe I should do it as well. But it is... it gets murky, and it's there is no solution to this kind of a thing. But it is this is.
I didn't even tell you to say that. Yeah. There's no
solution.
There's only trade-offs.
The only thing you can do is, like, let users decide.
Wouldn't you have guessed?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you have guessed? Right? Another problem without clear solution.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, no, that truly is no solution to that problem. Yeah. Not a clear and good one.
Yeah.
Without, of course, you know. Introducing a trusted third party,
which is the we revolve back the door and come to Facebook. Basically.
Yeah, if you want to do it right, if you want to build it properly, and with actually user self sovereignty in mind, there isn't a good solution, and the user has to be responsible to some degree as well.
When you're moving to a key based world, responsibility is on the user, and they have to be responsible.
It's just like with firearms, right? Yeah. It's just like either the firearm is actually able to harm someone else, which means it's also able to harm you.
Exactly.
Which means you have to handle it responsibly.
Exactly.
Or it's just like whatever, you know, like a children's toy, and then it doesn't do you any good.
Yeah.
So it's the same idea.
Yeah.
Let's go here a little bit. I still want to buy us a little bit more time, because we are just at SSC 06 yet. I still have to update the site and see if I can get even all the projects in and so on.
Yeah.
But
there was another proposal.
Yeah, I was just about to ask. Yeah. So that was, we went through yours. I think Jesus had something as
Jesus had another proposal, which I actually like a lot more because his proposal is very, very simple. And I don't think it's enough, but still it is a great one. His idea is that identity and signaling and all of these things are probabilistic, even if you have cryptographic in a way, because there's always question. And you have to out of band confirm that, is it a legit migration, whether it is cryptographic or not, right?
Yeah.
So since it is stochastic in that sense, and you are you're always going to have to kind of make a judgment call in a way, his idea was that just have one kind and just have a kind of a threaded migration link. So you would create a proof, basically, an OTS timestamp it. Mm-hmm. And you will keep this proof with yourself. And this proof...
And the assumption is that you do that before you got compromised.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. But that has to be the assumption.
That has to be the case, So you would keep that, and you don't have to define what is the future key. So you don't have to manage two different keys and any of these things. That was not the case in mine as well. But if you, when you want to migrate, you would refer to the previous proof Like I prove, and you can do it with any key. So you don't, no key management, no derivation, no none of these things. You can just take any new key and use the previous proof, provide the commitment, so to speak, pre-image rather, that this was the old key which got compromised and my attacker has it, or I lost it,
and
or whatever.
This is my new one.
This is my new one, and this is how I'm proving continuation of my identity. So instead of key rotation, he's like identity continuation without having to deal with keys.
And also without having to deal with the old nodes, for example, because we don't care about that.
We don't care about
that. It's like what your old identity posted in the past, we're not going to migrate that over, right?
And even not with any kind of key rotation, like to migrate all the old nodes and stuff, like,
It doesn't work.
Unnecessary complexity.
No, it doesn't work because just the Nostr IDs are self-referential.
Yeah.
And like you will change the hashes by resigning them, for example.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's again no solutions.
Yeah, no solutions.
there's no solutions to that.
His idea is a very very simple one. It is very very workable. No client has to do anything or even show people, and none of these things.
Actually, related to that, I just saw that a couple days ago. That was just like maybe a week ago or not even. Pip, the social graph guy who built Vertex, he showed that a very primitive form of identity continuation already works just based on Web of Trust metrics alone.
Okay.
And he showcased it with one guy who switched NPubs.
Right.
And the old account followed the new account.
Yeah.
And some other important people started following the new account as well.
Yeah.
And then if you search for the guy's name, the new account immediately shows up because it has a higher weight on PageRank basically.
Right.
And so we already have like these purely social primitive mechanisms, they already work. Like
absolutely.
If you use Vertex, that will already work. Like your client, for example, could alert you using Vertex, you know, like, hey, it looks like you're looking at half of your follower list is outdated and that's when people move to and so on.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to see that multiple approaches kind of work.
And Vitor is right in that sense. Like, you know, identity is a social thing and this should be good. And what Jesus proposes doing this identity continuation thing, it is very simple, very implementable, very easy for clients to integrate it. And I think it's a very good proposal for this. Though I think there still needs to be some kind of a cryptographic way for us to change identities, because especially when we're talking about agentic and programmatic world, I think there is a use case over there.
I think for the agent stuff, what you want to have is you want to link them together in some way.
Yeah.
And also you want to think about what's the right word? Provisioning in some sense.
Yeah.
Like that's what I run into the most, is like what NPubs can talk to each other and how do they hang together.
Yeah.
If I build an agent hierarchy and I build it on Nostr,
like
what agent can instruct other agents, all those kind of things and so on. So I think there's something there also in terms of, you know, like spawning sub accounts, spawning sub agents.
Yeah.
I talked about this very, very briefly with Marty just yesterday, that we already have people like Sir Sleepy and other people on Nostr that are power users, and they have their main account, but they have like three or four or five other accounts, and it's like one account only posts classical music stuff, one account only posts about trains, one account only posts about whatever, like crazy memes and so on.
Yeah.
And you still want to, like in a traditional social media context, you might have a sub-account system or those kind of things.
Yes.
And that all these things hang loosely together in my mind, where, like, for example, if I want to switch a client or if I get a new phone, I just want to punch in one thing and all my accounts are there.
That's true.
For example.
You know? Yeah.
Like right now, because I have 15 different NSECs or whatever, it's like right now I have to all put them
manually.
In one by one.
Yeah,
and just getting
a
new phone is a headache just because of that.
Yeah. there was one more proposal, which was very... it makes a lot of sense when you look at it from you know, just a cryptographic point of view, and has a lot of, but not for the use case of key rotation and stuff, but for key management part of it, because we had another proposal using BIP85, for example, for doing this stuff. But that is part of the key management, like these are many different components, we're kind of talking them as a composite thing, but the key management part, there's still a lot of work we can do over there to make the UX easier and design clients in such a way that they actually provide this kind of a easy way of what you're talking about.
Not only clients, but also signers.
Yeah, as well signers and, as well, yeah, for sure.
We had the portal team here, right? And it was also, I think in the same week that the cohort started, Primal released their signing capabilities.
Yes.
And so that's definitely, it is on the client side as well, but it's also on the signer side.
Yes, for sure.
For me, it's just awesome to see that we actually have signers.
Yeah.
And we have multiple signers, and there's even hardware signer projects and so on. I know Ben from LMBits was hacking on a hardware-based Nostra Signa and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just awesome to see the proliferation.
We had another guy, participant, who actually made a firmware update, like a custom firmware for Trezor, and started using that as a hardware signer.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was only one Trezor guy.
Yeah, one Trezor guy. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Awesome. Let's switch gears a little bit. So, we are experimenting right now with shorter cohort durations. So SEC 06 was 3 weeks only.
Yeah.
In the beginning, we had we had 8 weeks, which I think is might be a week or two too long.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the right now the regular cohort duration is 6 weeks, which I think is pretty perfect.
Yes.
Because it takes a week or two to get up and running and to get the group going and kind of get the get all the ideas out on the table, and then you start putting the pieces back together, basically. Yeah. And like Justin mentioned that as well, like it really takes up steam in like weeks 3, 4, and 5.
Yes.
And how do you think that the 3 weeks go for SEC 06? Was it a worthwhile experiment? Did we learn anything?
We did. We did learn that 3 weeks is not enough. 3 weeks was just like a warm up. What ended up happening was like, we all came for SEC. It's kind of like a pilgrimage kind of a situation by now. Everybody comes from the outside world into this bubble, and it takes them a while
to
adjust.
It
takes them a while to adjust, right? Yeah. And the first 2-3 weeks is just like, okay, we are back in this thing, and like now we're starting to get into the groove. And by the time we got in the groove, it was the end of SEC 06, right? Which kind of actually helps SEC 07 because everybody's geared up and everybody's fired up, and like SEC 07 first week was fucking fantastic.
Yeah, we hit the ground running, that's for sure. I think it was one of the most energetic first weeks we had.
Yes.
And it's awesome to see that we have a bit of spillover so people don't come in blank, basically. Yeah. But obviously the topic is related, mesh networks and hardware, because you need identity for mesh networks as well, like some form of who is what device and like how do devices connect to each other and so on. But obviously it's a very different topic, and we have about half alumni, half new people.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to see, like, I think the 3 weeks of SEC 07, they like, we have something cooking here.
Yes.
We have
So it's going to be massive.
Hitting the ground running, then 3 weeks might be enough.
Yeah.
Like,
But I think it's like 6 weeks is good, or maybe, you know, like if we wanted to, it still is like, if we want a smaller one, I think minimum 4 weeks, 3 weeks is not good.
Yeah, it takes a while to get the brain juices flowing and get the experiments up and running and so on.
But the 6 week thing is just about right.
Just give me 1 second. So we have 2 weeks left for SEC 07.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
And then we'll have YOLO plus plus.
We'll have YOLO
6 weeks
plus
in the summer.
6 weeks, yeah.
So, can we announce that already? Is that still a secret?
It's already announced.
That we are gonna. No, I mean what happens at the end.
No, it is. It is already announced.
Okay, so we're gonna conclude with BTC plus plus in that era after the after the summer cohort.
Yeah.
So that's going to be amazing, of course.
That's going to be awesome,
So lots of people are going to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Nifty is going to be
Nifty
here.
Nifty is going to be here.
We'll have a kind of big party at the end
a
of it.
A big party, yeah. It's going to be like the... It's going to be BTC++.
Lots of good people here.
Primer for the next conference to on Madeira. So that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, we have Bitcoin Atlanta is coming up as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's already been 4 years, almost. Next halving is going to be the next conference.
And this is actually going to be the first demo day, first public demo day after Seco One at BTC++.
Yeah, let's see how it goes.
That's going to be interesting.
Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited. Lots of good people are going to come.
Yeah.
So we have we're going to have lots of alumni for the summer one, hopefully some new and motivated people as well.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, it's kind of turning into a pilgrimage.
Yeah.
It's kind of a place you want to go to just to hack on certain things with a bunch of crazy people.
Yeah.
And just see what comes out.
Yeah. And like more and more, like it's like the same kind of faces kind of end up showing a lot of times. So it's good.
Yeah, we're just gonna do it in India or some other place one day. And we're gonna mix it up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but we must do a sovereign engineering at some other place as well.
Yeah, we're gonna branch out eventually.
Yeah,
I you know, it's already bubbling under the under the surface. People are eager to take the program somewhere else and do it at a different place.
Yeah.
I think one of the most important things is. It should be a relatively high barrier to entry in terms of getting to the place.
Yes.
And second of all, it should be very hard to leave.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it takes a while. It takes a week of orientation until you, like, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that came and were like, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck is this? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And if they would have the opportunity to leave in the first 2 days,
they
probably would.
Yes.
Just like enter a train and it's like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So you have to get with it a little bit.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like people are confused. Why are we going on hikes?
Yeah.
Like, what does this have to do with engineering?
You know? Yeah.
It's like, but they don't understand that if you pack a group of people on a 3-hour hike and keep it compact enough, all that people can do is talk.
Yeah.
You think about the stuff you want to build and you talk about it. And people are, you know, like they don't really understand what's going on and what they are doing, but they are discussing the next big thing without even knowing it.
And also, like we kind of have a structure, but we don't have a structure.
We have too much structure. According to some people, I got accused by another Indian guy. Like all the Indian guys are up Proxy. My ass, man. It's like, what's going on? I thought it was an anarchist program. Why is there so much structure? Why do we have like a 9-to-12 structure? What? No, anyway.
So,
but that's as advertised. Like it's a program with a little bit of structure.
Yes.
So Monday to Wednesday, 9-to-12,
with
Monday orientation, Tuesday talks, Wednesday workshops, Thursday's time off, Friday demo day, it's just the afternoon.
That's the Very first easy. Week. And from second week on Monday, we go on hikes. So we start the week with a hike.
But in the first week, we also go on a hike. It's just like an easy hike. It's a walk.
It's a nice walk, a beautiful walk, and you will see the tunnel that you keep hearing about where bus stops fly and everything. You know?
Yes. People like the tunnel. Yeah. It brings its own sound effects.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm glad that it's working, and every single cohort something useful comes out. Like that's the goal for me personally. That's the goal.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like we want to see stuff actually shipped that makes it into production, quote unquote, if such a thing exists on Oster.
Yeah.
But basically something that gets used. And for me, it's just awesome to see now, like N-Sites have a big resurgence.
Oh yeah.
Sandwich went ham on them and like lots of people are deploying stuff to N-Site now.
Oh yeah.
The default for demos is deploying it on an N-Site now.
Yeah, exactly.
And just, you know, like Blossom came out of the cohorts, N-Site came out of the cohorts. Yeah. We have lots of stuff that came out of here, like NIP 60, 61, of course. And like just NutsApps and so on. And it's awesome to just see this out in the wild and people picking it up and using it and running with it and so on. So that's always the hope.
Yeah.
All right. Last section. We're now at SEC 07.
Right.
What can you tell me about the first week? What happened? What did we see? What was some of the demos that you liked? First demo day we had?
Well, we have reached a point where we are now having FIPS parties, not LAN parties. So we have been hacking away at FIPS, which is a free internet networking peering system, not something else you might have heard. And it's a new way to peer between between different devices, and
mesh networking protocol.
Now there's been a lot of stuff that happened on FIPS. In fact, FIPS has been integrated into an ESP32 radio.
That was one of the demos.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Radio, MixNet, so NIM network is FIPS is running on top of NIM network. We have TCP UDP, of course. We have VPNs being built on top of FIPS now. We have
Cashew. Marty is migrating Nostra VPN Tor. To FIPS
oh,
as well.
We have,
right?
Yeah, Marty is also doing that stuff on top of FIPS. He wants to integrate Nostra VPN and FIPS. We have Tor on top of FIPS now.
Thomas showed off a drawing board that ran on FIPS and Tor, right?
Yes.
Where people can collaboratively draw on a canvas.
Yeah.
And you can only connect either via FIPS or via Tor.
Yeah, and it is kind of insane. Like, we talked about FIPS.
I mean, we're cheating a little bit. We have the FIPS guy here.
Yeah, so. We have the FIPS guy. But, think about it.
So we're blessed that Jonathan came.
Oh my God.
Can help everyone.
Without him, this would not have been, where we are today. But, in Secofy, when we were discussing this, we were like, oh, this would be so awesome. Maybe someday in the future, in 5 years, maybe we will get to something like FIPS. And then Jonathan comes on the on the scene.
Yeah.
And
came out of retirement.
He came out of retirement, right? He started discussing this thing in November. And then February, hey, guys, I was just working on something. And just install this. FIPS is ready. I'm like, what? And from February to now, which is almost 6 weeks, something like that, we have all of these things being built on top of FIPS already. And it's not over, because now we are waiting for the next, and this is still a toy FIPS in a way. There's going to be a next.
He's actually upgrade. A little bit mad that people are building so much stuff on it already because he knows
it's not ready.
He still has
don't
to
do this.
He still has to break it once or twice.
And because he comes from the old school, right? Oh, we should have a flag day and we should let people know that we are going to have breaking
fuck it.
Changes.
Push to main, break everything.
No, fuck it. Just push
to master, fuck it up.
Everybody will just upgrade. Yeah, nobody cares. It's still a toy project. Nobody gives a fuck.
The eight people that know about it are all here. It's fine.
Exactly.
It'll be fine.
Exactly. So, FIPS is fucking insane. Incredible stuff. And FIPS gives me a lot of hope in a way as well, because we finally have a way where we can get rid of the entire centralized internet stack.
Yeah, everyone agrees that DNS is DNS is a shitcoin too.
Yeah.
To not only paraphrase, but
even
exactly
IPs.
Quote Jonathan.
Yeah.
He says
even IPs for that matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
IPv4 definitely.
Yeah.
It's just
So it's incredible that we have this and that by the time Seco 7 finishes, I think we'll have a pretty decent substrate.
Yeah.
Of FIPS, a solid substrate, because he intends to do this breaking changes during the next 2 weeks.
When is the quick 3 FIPS party again?
Oh, it's in the afternoon.
Today?
Yeah, today. Yeah.
And tomorrow probably as well.
Yeah, of course.
So we have a quick 3 server running on FIPS.
Oh yes.
Right.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
We have a quick 3 server running on FIPS and. Everybody's just congregating at Nostra office to have a FIPS party.
Let's go. Let's go. We're not gonna bring back clan parties, but we can, bring them back
via FIPS. Yeah.
Just mesh parties.
Yeah, mesh parties. Just 21st century LAN parties.
Let's do one more round out here. And I think we'll end it at the fort, and then I'm all cooked.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll have to run anyway. Otherwise, I'll leave my flight.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to leave.
Yeah.
But I'll be back very soon. I'll just be gone for a couple of days. I just have to take care of family matters.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see what everyone has been cooking up once I'm back.
Oh yeah.
And you'll fill me in on the hike on Monday.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Then we'll see. We'll have to. Let's go here. That's path now.
Okay.
And then we'll have the final demo day, and then we see where we're at.
Yeah.
To me, it's just awesome that the whole point of Sovereign Engineering was how can we bring awesome people together without a lot of work for us in some sense.
Yeah.
Without you know, like millions of dollars in funding. Like, how can we bootleg all this
without bribing anybody?
Just, yeah, exactly.
You know,
and just attract the right people.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just awesome that it's working, and I hope that it will continue to work,
for
and people will just come, just for the heck of it.
Yes.
It's just like.
Just want to meet cool people and have good conversations and have good food.
Like, and the most awesome thing for me is like everyone has this project in the back of their head that they always wanted to build.
Yeah.
And they never did because there was always an excuse.
Yeah.
Once you're at Summit Engineering, there's no excuse.
There's no excuse.
You have a couple of weeks, you have all the brain power in the world.
Yeah.
You know, you have all the vibe coding credits in the world.
Yes. Yeah, that is
and
true.
You can just go ham.
Yeah.
And you can learn from people and like Justin and everyone else, like how do you build a project in like 3 days?
If you're not even into vibe coding, if you just are just have good ideas and don't know technically, like you could come over here. You have access to all of these people. Just talk to them.
Absolutely.
All of them. Everyone is an expert. So-called.
We had designers building cool shit.
Yes, exactly.
Last cohort, SSEO6, we had Rob, project manager, building silent payments over Nosser. Yeah. So
you know, like, if you have good ideas, like, you have all the brain talent over here and ability over here to interact with and actually build something that you could realize that you've been thinking of for years and years now.
Yeah, and who knows where it goes, you know? Like,
exactly.
we don't put any restrictions on the projects or anything like that. You can take it wherever you want to take it.
Yeah.
And if you,
I mean, Rob's contribution is going to be the reason why silent payments is integrated in Sparrow in a way.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
And Jumble even.
And that's the point.
He actually already did, I think.
Yeah. That's the point. It's like have the right idea, get it out into the wild, even if it is built in a. Again, like we're just aiming for the 80%, and that's generous. Like,
as
we want to push it over 50%.
Yes.
If it's the right idea, even if it's like insecure and just wiped together garbage, no one cares.
Yeah.
If someone like Craig Raw picks it up and integrates it into Sparrow, like that's it.
Yeah.
That's, we are done.
Yeah.
We don't have to.
Yeah. At least you get the conversation going and it moves the needle, and that is the point.
Yeah. And that's why the demos are so important to me, because just having ideas is. Everyone has ideas.
Yes.
If you're forced to build it out and show a working prototype, then you have something in your hands and you know how the thing looks and feels and can it work and does it make sense.
And you have to, like, you know, actually clarify the idea in your head. What do you actually want and what does it need for your idea to be realized? And you come across all of these different problems that you will solve and you have people to discuss with and you'll find solutions
and
to them.
Even more than that, like, because oftentimes if you just build something out yourself, I think that's also not enough. But you being forced in the time span of 6 minutes to explain it to 20 other people that are hypercritical of your bullshit.
Yeah.
That's the important part. It's like, how can you explain the crazy idea that you have in like 5 minutes to a room full of, you know, very opinionated Bitcoiners?
Oh, yeah. that's a feature.
That's a feature.
Big feature.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I love it. I love that it works and it continues to work. So what's your plan for the next 2 weeks? Do you have any demos in mind already?
Well, I started on putting classic games on
You deployed Doom on an N-site.
I deployed Doom on an N-site. So,
which is awesome, by the way.
So I just want to make sure that it works on mobile properly. So I have to write the overlay
touch controls
for that thing. So I want to do that and see. See if other games I want to do or something else.
So you're going to lean into the FIPS LAN party game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's bring it back, you know. We need to make NOS the fun again, in a way. So
it's not fun right now?
It is. It's all right. Yeah. It can be fun. It can be more fun, for sure. I saw Pete's kid. He's doing some good stuff on games.
Yeah,
Gamester and stuff.
Shout out to Pete. He built a lot of games.
Yeah, he built a lot of games. So that was an inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was also thinking of, like, I have a couple of ideas on FIPS that I want to discuss with Jonathan, see if my ideas actually make sense or they're just dog shit. I want to focus on FIPS as well.
You're not alone. You're not alone. All the Tollgate people are focused on FIPS as well right now.
Yeah.
And what do you think about the balloon idea? of Cobra Door?
As insane as it is, makes me want to do it more, because I actually think that if that chip works, it's not crazy.
So it's similar. It's a poor man's Starlink, putting toll gates on balloons.
It's the gorilla man's Starlink, you know. So it's great. You could be as fancy as you want, but at the end of the day, we are all choked by the fiber optic cables running all along the earth and yeah. Elon Musk's generosity.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. If we are truly to be self-sovereign, like, we need a way to communicate as well, because all the radio bands are licensed.
Yeah.
So what else do you have, right?
Yeah. So that leaves just balloons.
Yes.
Toll gates on balloons.
Yes.
You think we're gonna see it? I have the feeling that he's just gonna manage. He can be very convincing.
Yeah, he has a knack.
And everything.
He has a knack for pulling people into his crazy ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you realize as soon as you get in, like, why the fuck did I even agree to this thing?
Yeah, but, he has the quality, definitely.
But it's a good one. I would like to see. And it's not expensive, so, you know, it's very much doable.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the end. We're at the end of the road.
Yeah, at the end of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite spot, by the way.
Okay.
That's my basically clearing my head, getting away from everything kind of spot.
Okay.
Good. It's nice, right?
Yeah, it's a nice spot.
And I'm always at the very end where, you know, with all the other drug addicts and so on, they just don't know the kinds of drugs I'm using. Yeah, I'm just like, it's tokens.
You are on a different thing.
Who would have thought that I get addicted to tokens?
Yeah.
After not shitcoining for so long.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm addicted to tokens.
Yeah, we had this conversation as well about tokens the other day. Like, why are we calling them tokens? But unfortunately,
it is what it is.
It comes from mathematics, so.
It is what it is.
ML scene. Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, beautiful Madeira.
Yeah.
Wide and open sea. Yeah. We're still exploring.
We're still exploring.
That's what it is. Yeah, thanks for taking up the call.
Yeah.
And steering the ship. Yeah. And doing sovereign engineering with us. I really mean it.
Thanks for inviting.
Yeah. Yeah. We always end on a hug.
Yes.
And then I have to find the phone to actually hit save and see if we're still recording.
Right. Yeah.